Well, hey guys, welcome to the Sermon Recap Podcast. My name is Pierce Vanderslice. I'm one of the pastors here at The Heights, and I am so excited about this episode. It's going to be a little bit different because, frankly, this past weekend was different. If you weren't able to make it, we had our annual student conference that we call Chi Alpha this past weekend. And part of that is that we brought in a guest speaker named Chris Dupree, who you'll hear from on the podcast in just a minute. He spent the majority of the weekend with the students, and then Sunday morning, he was with us in both the 9:30 and 11 o'clock service. And so Trace, our student pastor, who did an unbelievable job leading this past weekend at Chi Alpha, actually sat down with Chris. And I think you're really going to enjoy their conversation. They talked about the weekend of Chi Alpha. They talked about Gen Z and parenting Gen Z. And then we're also able to dive into Psalm 23, where Chris preached from on Sunday. So again, thanks so much for checking out. And I hope you enjoy the conversation with Chris Dupree and Trace.
Well, hey, Heights Church. This is Trace Jones, the student pastor here at The Heights. And I'm joined by a special guest today for our message recap podcast. It is our guest speaker from this past Sunday, who also spoke at Chi Alpha all weekend long for the second year in a row. We're happy to bring back Chris Dupree, lead pastor of BT Church in McAllen, Texas, with five campuses across South Texas and doing a lot of amazing things down there. I'm a little biased because I grew up there, but I love getting a chance to connect with Chris and hear about what God is doing in South Texas. So Chris, thank you for making a little time in your week after you're already back home when you're busy with everything else to come and to join us today.
Absolutely. I'm glad that we could do it, and I'm glad that I can serve the Heights family in this way. So I'm excited.
You have spent your own, you've spent some time up here yourself. So I know that you you love Dallas. And so we appreciate you coming up and visiting us again. So I just wanted to start off with two questions to give people a chance to get to know you a little bit better. We've gotten a chance to hear you share stories about your family and about you. But I think it would be great to pull back the curtain even a little bit more and find out two things about you. And so the first question is pretty simple. What is one thing that instantly makes your day better?
Wow. One thing that instantly makes my day better. Well, this is a little bit of a seasonal answer, but anytime there is a Cowboys victory on the weekend, that makes the next week awesome. But something that I would say a daily thing, pretty simple, man, when it is not overcast, which is often here in the Rio Grande Valley, well, I just love some sunshine. So
I feel that every single time we spring forward, my life gets better for 6 months. So I feel that. Okay. Second one, a little less simple, but, just helps us to see kind of how you view yourself. So Chris Dupree, what actor would you choose to play you in your biopic?
Well, if I had to go with just pure similarity as far as physical features, I would probably go with, I'd stick with the Chris's, either Chris Hemsworth or Chris Evans, perhaps.
Wow. I see it.
Yeah,
I see it.
I thought you would. But yeah. Outside of that, you know, and it's random because I don't necessarily think he is the greatest actor, but I pretty much love every movie Keanu Reeves does. It's weird.
So, okay.
Just because I like him, it'd be cool for him to play me as well.
I'm envisioning like Chris Dupree as John Wick, though, or like John Wick as a pastor. That would be interesting to watch for sure.
For sure.
Well, thanks for answering those and playing along. But looking back on what you shared out of God's Word this Sunday with us as kind of a culmination of all that you'd been talking about with our students in Psalm 23, what do you think is the primary way that we as Christians struggle with the three things that you shared? You gave us three tips, all right? Express your gratitude, examine your life, and elevate your eyes. Is there one of those three things that you think we as Christians in 2024 struggle with the most?
Yeah, I honestly think that right now, current church culture, I think that probably what I have seen people struggle with the most actually is the simplest and the first one, and that is expressing gratitude. you know, we all have needs and the world is as broken as it's ever been. And we have prayer times and we share prayer requests, but I just don't see as often as I think I would like to, just believers being thankful for what they already have. And that thankfulness, that gratitude, it keeps us positioned to know both what we have now in Christ, but the future promises. I mean, I think all three are probably needed reminders, but I feel from what I'm seeing lately, I tend to see an overwhelming lack of gratitude.
You touched on that a little bit in your talk on Sunday. Is there a specific reason why you think we struggle with the gratitude? Is there a specific area? Is it within the way that God is allowing our country to go? Is it with the way that we experience life? Or do you think it's just something that is so prevalent in culture to be critical of where you are in your season of life? Do you think that that's part of what it plays into or where it comes from as well?
Yeah, I think it's two part. I think since 2020, which, you know, there was this thing, I don't know if y'all dealt with it in the Metroplex. I think it was called COVID, if I remember correctly, but
vaguely remember that. Yeah.
But you have COVID, you have the election, you have a lot of the unrest and some racial issues. And so I feel that lately in the last several years, all of the challenges have been very much highlighted just in society. And that's the news cycle today, right? I mean, how does news sell? Tell you all the bad stuff that's going on, get you scared.
Right.
And so we're receiving, and candidly, and this isn't my original thought, I've heard it from several people, but many believers in the church are being discipled by cable news now. Mm. And so our souls are being saturated with all the negative. And, you know, what goes in comes out, right? But also, just so I think historically, in my experience in the church, when we have in small groups, in a prayer service, anytime Christians gather and we take prayer requests, and I get it, prayer requests tends to cause us to think, hey, here's something I'm facing. But I've never really experienced, and I'm trying to challenge my church, BT, to do this more when we have our prayer gatherings. But we don't ever really gather and just share what we're thankful for in prayer form. And Thanksgiving is a type of prayer, right?
Totally.
And so I think I can't speak to believers' private lives. I want to hope that we are all praying prayers of Thanksgiving, because to leave that out is to have an anemic prayer life in some way. But we don't really encourage historically corporate Thanksgiving. We have corporate petitions, but not corporate Thanksgiving.
Mm. I think that's so good. And creating that discipline of gratitude is not something that is easy. I know I've been tempted many times, because I know that I struggle with that as well, to start doing a gratitude journal. There are things in my life where I've considered, like, okay, how do I get better at this? Because I believe you talked about when Paul said to bring everything to the Lord with thanksgiving. I mean, that verse challenges me constantly, that there are good things in our life. And I think oftentimes we lose sight of, and we're not able to trust God in those difficult times, because we forget to look at him and look to him in the good times and to say thank you. And so as we are going through those good times, if we can develop that discipline of gratitude and celebrating what God is doing, there's the ability to, when things in life are hard, if I have so rooted myself in expressing gratitude towards God, I feel like my belief in God still being good is much less likely to be shaken. But it's only if we cultivate that in those little areas in our life as well, which I think is interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
So is there anything else, as you look back on, as you think about what you shared with the church as a whole on Sunday, that you think is something you would highlight within that idea of the now and not yet tension? Or do you think that now would be a good time to talk a little bit more about kind of all of Psalm 23 that we were looking at throughout the course of the weekend?
Yeah, I mean, and this is going to sound repetitive, I just think that, you know, I walked through the first five verses of Revelation 21 as the textual background. But on those three, you know, practical tips, I mean, the reason why I bring them all up again is because they stay connected. If we become people of higher gratitude, that will cause us to be people of higher examination in our lives. And I think mm-hmm. that's just an ongoing reality that we have to continually examine what are the priorities. And I talked about how that's even, you know, a misnomer. What's the priority in my life? And when Jesus is the priority, then I naturally am able to balance the tension of living today, thankful for what I have, living today, praying the kingdom would come, his will would be done, but also living today whenever things maybe don't go as planned or things seem to be falling apart, knowing that this is, unfortunately, I think sometimes it becomes cliche, but this is really not my home. And when I put those three together, it helps me not devalue this life, but also it helps me really, really look forward to what's to come.
Well, thanks for sharing that again about this past Sunday. It was directly tied to everything that we talked about with our students this weekend within the context of this weekend of talking about all my life. And I love that as you were preparing for this weekend and preparing for how do I have a talk that kind of culminates all of that, but invites the church into it. And you're talking about, man, the reality of the end of Psalm 23 is that this is the promise that we are given, that the Lord is going to set up a table in the presence of my enemies, that his presence is going to be there with me for all of my life. But at the same time, too, there are times in our day-to-day where it doesn't feel like that. And so I just thought you did a masterful job this whole weekend of kind of sharing just insights from Psalm 23. As you think back on kind of what we talked about this weekend, as you think about even just for your own personal life in this famous psalm, is there one of these principles or one of these verses inside of Psalm 23 that you go, first and foremost, as a man, as a follower of Christ, like this is something that I cling to in that passage?
Yeah, for me, and I love the 23rd Psalm. And so it's not necessarily one, and it's only six verses. So to say that there are three, that's already taken half of them. But really, verse one, the Lord is my shepherd, I have what I need. A lot of people learned it, I shall not want. But I really like that language of I have what I need. And what I talk to the students about is that in that point, God is revealing, he has revealed to David, at least, what he has in the Lord. And one of the points I made to the students that I think really just communicates the whole kind of tenor of the 23rd Psalm is that David is not writing this, and he's not referring to the Lord as a shepherd as a title, but as his testimony. He knows what God has been to him in the pit, and he knows what God has been to him on the best of days. And so verse one sets the tone for me, not just as I study the psalm, but in my life. Like, God has revealed to me time and time again why he is, he's worthy of my praise because he's God. But in his grace, he's revealed to me on a very personal level that he is indeed my shepherd. Yeah. And that just for me then gets accented when you jump to verse four. Even when I go through the darkest valley, I fear no danger, for you're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And I say all the time, I say it when I'm preaching here at BT, like, I really wish that David would have written, because the Lord's my shepherd, I walk around the darkest valley, right? I get to walk around it, but there is no scriptural evidence that we get to avoid all the valleys. Sometimes we get to avoid some of them, but there are some we just simply have to go through. And so much of culture and so much of the enemy wants us to believe that when we're in the valley, it's because we have failed God, or he's mad at us, or he's distant from us. And I just love what the psalm communicates, that even when I go through the darkest valley, I don't fear. Why? Because I figured it out? No. Because I'm strong enough? No. Because he is with us. The shepherd who provides all that I need is with me, even in those dark valleys. And then, as I told the students, not just that he's with me, but he is for me, that he is still for my life being experienced to the fullest.
I love that. And I didn't always love this psalm. I didn't always love any of the psalms. I think back on my life and I would look at it and just be like, man, okay, here's this collection of poems, but that is a really naive view of life. The psalms are filled with just the psalmist crying out from the darkest moments of their lives, or from the mountaintops of their lives as well. And as we were getting ready for Chi Alpha 24, the reason why we landed on this passage, besides the fact that I came to you and said, "Hey, we want to talk about Psalm 23:6," and you're like, "Well, then let's just talk about the whole chapter then over the course of the weekend," is as we look out and as we see Gen Z culture, and as we look out and as we see even Gen Alpha coming up behind it, the thing that we have kind of perceived as lacking in our students is seeing that not just that God is good, but that there is any goodness in the world. And so that was really the heart cry of why, as we were planning this year's Chi Alpha, we wanted to brand it All My Life and talk about Psalm 23:6 as the key verse of the weekend, because there's just this beauty in understanding this promise that if what David says is true, and it's in the Bible, so we believe that it's true, there's only two things: God's goodness and his faithful love that are going to follow him all the days of our lives. And I do think one unique part of this conversation, Chris, is in kind of tying these two things together. As the person who came and spoke and shared God's word with us this weekend, but then also as a father with a couple of teenagers, or maybe even three teenagers now. Yep. That's crazy. I feel old. But with three teenagers now and a fourth one not very far away, do you see students in your own kids' lives? Do you see some of that in their friends, just kind of lacking an understanding of the goodness of God and also how we can find goodness in the world? Do you think that that's something that parents that are listening to this can identify with, of seeing their kids or their kids' friends struggling with finding that?
Absolutely. Excuse me, I can't put my finger on what culturally has created it, but I definitely feel, I mean, there are certain realities. When I was in high school, a long time ago, it seems now, when I was a student pastor, and then when I look at kids now, the reality is, even when I was in high school, that there were things going on outside of me that caused feelings of anxiety or insecurities or inadequacies. I mean, those are just, that's the broken world we live in. But I feel that this student culture, Gen Z and Gen Alpha, it's just on overdrive. And when I look at the students in our church, when I look at my kids' friends, and honestly, when I look at my children, one of the things that grieves me, but also encourages me to really push the truth of Scripture, is that, man, it just seems like students today, more so than ever, are so battling not just the external challenges, right? While maybe they look slightly different, those have pretty much been the same. But it just seems the internal challenges are so much higher now. Those feelings of inadequacy, those feelings of depression and despair, anxiety, insecurities, I'm not enough, and so much of it seems to be performance driven. And so just to get, like, for my kids, I just try to get them to understand that, of course, as their dad, that they're academic, while we stress that in our home, they're athletic, they're musical, they're whatever pursuits they go after, while you know, we want them to do their best, that doesn't define them. But not just with their parents, but with God. That man, all of my kids have given their life to Christ. And with all of the outside pressures to perform and to be enough, and with all of the, you know, the different types of attacks that set their hooks on the inside of their self-worth, man, just getting to understand, like, you will have challenging days and you will feel down and you will feel like today's just the worst ever. But even then, God's goodness has not left you. It is not something that comes and goes. It doesn't come down on you and then leave you. And his mercy or his faithfulness or his faithful love, it's not dependent on you. It's who he is, right?
Yeah.
You're not earning these things. He's freely giving it.
Wow. I love that. I share this verse often with our students in our student ministry, but Paul, when he's writing, he reminds Timothy that the saying is true, that even if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. And I love that verse. I think it's a timely message as well, of just the fact that we have all this pressure, like you said, but at the end of the day, God in his goodness and his grace and his mercy, he doesn't change. And because he doesn't change, he still offers that faithful presence in our lives. He still offers us grace, and he still reminds us that our identity and is wrapped up in who Christ is and what he's done. And so I just appreciate you taking this time to jump on here and to share as a pastor, as a father, as a believer, just kind of your heart in this. And I was just going to ask one last thing. Is there anything that you would just kind of want to, with one last opportunity, say to the students of the Heights Church, to just kind of wrap up everything that we talked about over the course of this weekend?
Yeah, for the students specifically, and as opposed to saying something new, I would just really encourage them with what we talked about on Saturday morning, which was the shortest as far as like my teaching sessions.
Don't worry, everybody; it was still like 30 minutes long.
Yeah, the other ones, kind of longer. So, but just to remind them that they have been adopted into the family of God. He has poured his love over them. And as they navigate, whether they're in junior high, going into high school, middle of high school, headed towards, the senior year, if they're later high school and thinking about life afterwards, that as they go through those challenges that they'll inevitably face, just to remember that he is not far off. He has not forgotten them. And then there's the two phrases that I talked about, like he is with them and he is for them. I think that is one of the greatest things, not just students, I mean, adults. We just so often forget because we get so down on ourselves, and so many times the outside world puts that pressure on top of us. But no matter what I'm going through, no matter my level of faithfulness, he may not be for what I'm doing, right? But he is always for me because I belong to him. Good.
Yeah, I love that. I think it's a great way to end. And so just once again, Chris, thanks for taking the time to jump on here and to share a little bit more with us about everything that you taught us this weekend. We will just continue praying for you and your leadership and your family and everything that's going on with you and your wife and having to juggle four kids and all the schedules and all the craziness that comes with that. And so we just appreciate you, and the Heights Church loves you. And thanks for being here this year and last year as well.
Hey, absolutely. It was an honor to be there. Of course, I love you and Rachel, and I've grown to love the Heights family as well. And so I'm praying God's biggest blessings over the Heights Church in the days to come.
Awesome. Thanks, Chris. Have a good week.
All right, man.